from the most incarcerated city in the most incarcerated state in the most incarcerated country in the world, this drug policy update. Houston Police Senior Patrol Officer Noe Juarez was convicted by a federal court in New Orleans this January for supplying high-powered weapons and other equipment to the Zeta cartel and helping them smuggle massive amounts of cocaine into Louisiana and other communities. The FBI opened an investigation into the New Orleans DEA's Drug Task Force this year. Two members of the DEA Drug Task Force have been booked on conspiracy and drug distribution charges. Johnny Domingue, a former Tangipahoa sheriff's deputy, pleaded guilty to state drug counts in March. Carl E. Newman, a former Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office deputy, was booked with conspiracy to distribute cocaine and abuse of office soon after. As of late July, Newman has been booked on federal charges, which are sealed. The Justice Department's lengthy investigation into the Drug Task Force misconduct centers on star DEA agent Chad Scott. Originally hailing from Tangipahoa Sheriff's Department, Scott amassed a reputation and impressive record after 17 years with the DEA. The most recent of the many complaints against Chad Scott over his career in Houston and New Orleans comes from Lori White, an Orleans Parish Criminal District Court judge. After she acquitted an accused cocaine and heroin dealer, she said she received an inappropriate email from the agent, which she found to be a form of intimidation. The scandal is expected to have far-reaching effects on federal and state drug cases, past and present, around the New Orleans area. Already, the DEA changed its local policies for handling evidence and its security protocols at the agency's Metairie office on Causeway Boulevard. Legal challenges brought by defendants in cases involving Domingue, Newman, and Scott are expected to involve some of the agency's most notable busts.
I've heard whispers about the financial support your government receives from the drug industry.
Well, the irony of this, of course, is that this money, which is in the billions, is coming from your country. You see, you are the major purchaser of our national product, which is, of course, cocaine.
On one hand, you're saying the United States government is spending millions of dollars to eliminate the flow of drugs onto our streets. At the same time, we are doing business with the very same government that is flooding our streets with cocaine.
See. Let me show you a few of the other characters that are involved in this tragic comedy.
I'm on the border of Bolivia, working for pennies, treated like a slave. The coca fields have to be ready. The spirit of my people is starving, broken and sweaty, dreaming about revolution, looking at my machete. But the workload is too heavy to rise up in arms, and if I ran away, I know they'd probably murder my moms. So I pray to Jesucristo when I go to the mission, process the cocaine paste and play my position.
Okay, listen, Juan Valdez, just get me my product before we chop off your hands for workers' misconduct. I got the power to shoot a copper and not get charged, and it would be sad to see your family in front of a firing squad. So to feed your kids, I need these bricks. 40 tons in total, let me test it. Indeed, I this is good. Pass me a tissue and don't worry about them. I paid off the official.
Yo, it don't come as a challenge. I'm the son of some of the foulest, elected by my people. The only one on the ballot, born and bred to consort with feds. I laugh at fate and assassinate my predecessor to have his place in a third world fashion state. Block the nation with 90% of the wealth and 10% of the population. A central intelligence agency takes weight faithfully. The finest type of China white and cocaine you'll see.
Honey, I'm home. Never mind when your bank account suddenly grown. It's what? Funny, we're so out of this debt for this money we owe, would ya? When have I told you that I had two governments overthrown to keep our son enrolled in a private school and to keep our tummy swollen? Ooh. Come on, I'm And home was built on a foundation of bloody throats, the hungry stolen of their souls. Across this country's running coke, I took a stunning oath to hush the ones who know. The CIA conducts the flow for these young hustlers that lust for dough.
I go work in the hood, hit my connect. That's what's really good, and supply work to the hood. These two crack me up, scrutinize like we inferior. Petrified when we meet in my area. My goons will shoot till I say so. You got the loot, give me the yay yay. Like ice cubes, so don't play with my yay yo. We won't stop you bastards, my street scramblers chopping and bagging.
Taking pictures and tapping phones, debating snitches and cracking codes. Fast the cuff or blast the foe on any hustler stacking dough. Just pump the crack or blow, and my overtime is where your taxes go. Or gain your trust, get you the hand wait to us, cause we paid up front on the low with cameras taping you. Getting pop away, the prison sentence is doomed. Make the collar and leave with two keys out the evidence room.
Went my fame, truck, boat, or plane, they watching you. You think you got work? They copping too. We control blocks, they lock countries and own companies. We had nice cars and sneaker money. Now it's players out there talking about they holding. The bunks in they house like they down south with windows open. Your dough ain't long, you wrong, you take shorts and soon. Feds will be up in your mouth like forks and spoons. So enjoy the rush, live plush off coke bread. Soon you'll be in a cell with me like Jenny Lopez. In the school I was a bully, now life is fully a joke. I keep afloat on a boat for Peruvian coke. Players do favors for governors and tax makers. Fat Quakers smoke crack and sex acts with bad mayors. The walls got ears, you big mouths. Probably scared, not prepared to 2 years like Javier.
The story just told is an example of the path that drugs take on their way to every neighborhood and every state in this country. It's a lot deeper than the niggas on your block. So when they point the finger at you, brother man, this is what you gotta tell them.
I'm not guilty. You're the one who's guilty. Lawmakers, the politicians, the Colombian drug lords, all you who lobby against making drugs legal, just like you did with alcohol during the prohibition, you're the one who's guilty. I mean, come on, let's kick the ballistics here. Ain't no Uzis made in Harlem. Not one of us in here owns a poppy field. This thing is bigger than
Immortal Technique.
This is big business. This is the American way.
In March of this year, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office began investigating how Grand Isle Police lost drugs and cash designated for police drug buys. By June, three Grand Isle Police Department members, Captain Tyson Gravett, Lieutenant Elgin Gary, and Officer Cameron Westbrook. Gravett and Westbrook were each booked on one count of malfeasance and one count of extortion. This comes amidst allegations of evidence being tampered with and $4,000 in cash missing from a cash box, among other claims. Investigators seized police reports, 32 firearms, and other evidence. In other drug-related police misconduct, Acadia Parish Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer Maxine Trahan has been arrested and charged with felony theft. Trahan is accused of theft of $48,000 in money seized from drug busts in the parish, according to District Attorney Keith Stutes. New Orleans coroner Jeffrey Rouse has been outspoken about the city's staggering rise in opiate overdose deaths. Opiate overdoses are beating homicides, he said. I'm very glad that homicides are down, but I shudder to think where overdoses will go in 2 to 3 years. How many overdoses has New Orleans EMS been responding to this year?
We've gone from about 2 to 2.5 patients per day on average last year to about 4 to 5 in the past couple weeks.
For those who didn't reach help in time, from January to May of 2016, Coroner Jeffrey Rouse counted 63 deaths as opiate overdose. Outsourcing the toxicology reports to confirm that number is setting him back budget-wise. The coroner's new multi-million-dollar building could house a toxicology wing, but there's no room in the budget to hire staff or equip it. Meanwhile, law enforcement out of Rapides Parish spoke out to the town talk about their rising problem with heroin. From 1995 to 2012, said Lieutenant Carrie Beebe, head of the narcotics unit, the department worked on two or less heroin cases a year. In 2013, it was seven, and it has skyrocketed since. So far in 2016, the department has worked on 54 heroin cases. The Rapides Parish coroner also noted a rise in overdose deaths at 16 as of May this year, while there were only 13 in all of 2015. In response to the rise in opiate overdoses, lawmakers are sending mixed messages to their constituents. A 2016 law was passed that increases access to naloxone, an opiate agonist that reverses overdose. Naloxone can now be purchased over-the-counter in pharmacies, distributed by standing order at community organizations who work with people who use drugs, and is legal for anyone to have on hand. The Board of Pharmacy will be releasing their guidelines in January. A 2014 naloxone law that urged first responders to carry naloxone has had limited effect. The Covington Police Force is the first in the state to be trained in responding to opiate overdoses with naloxone as of July 2016. In New Orleans, the fire department and EMS are carrying naloxone, but police are not yet. Law enforcement have been sidestepping the state's 911 Good Samaritan law passed in 2014, which sought to increase calls to EMS in cases of overdose. Too often, people are dying because they are using alone, or the people who find them are too afraid to dial 911. The 911 Good Samaritan law gives legal immunity to overdose victims and those who call on their behalf. Nevertheless, Jarrett McCasland was convicted last fall of second-degree murder in the 2013 heroin overdose death of his 19-year-old girlfriend and sentenced to life in prison without parole. Brandon Eric, who was initially booked by Baton Rouge police on a second-degree murder count and indicted on manslaughter charges, received a 6-year prison term after pleading guilty to negligent homicide and distribution of heroin in the overdose death of Leah Hutchinson, his girlfriend. Jamie Heimel and Roderick Hackett are now facing second-degree murder charges in the death of Richard Keller Jr. of Destrehan, who Jamie had been using with on the night of his death. Noah Sharp, 17, was booked with second-degree murder when his girlfriend Michaela Mendoza overdosed in his Iberia home. His mother, Melissa, was booked with obstruction of justice in the case for driving the couple to the hospital instead of calling police. Daniel Raymond, policy director for the New York-based Harm Reduction Coalition, argued arrests for murder or manslaughter of those who used heroin with overdose victims won't help reduce the number of people dying from overdoses. It serves no public interest to charge that person for second-degree murder, homicide, or manslaughter, Raymond said of cases like the ones against McCasland and Eric. It's not going to bring the overdose victim back, and it's not going to do anything to prevent future overdoses. But it does send a strong message that the state of Louisiana would rather see people in overdose situations locked up than getting help. In May, North Shore law enforcement agencies announced a progressive drug-fighting program called Operation Angel that invites those struggling with drug use to show up at any police station in St. Tammany Parish and ask for help without the fear of going to jail. Covington Police Chief Tim Lentz announced the beginning of Operation Angel at a joint press conference with St. Tammany Parish, saying, "We need to give these people help and to treat addiction as a disease, not a crime. We would rather see you spend 6 months in treatment program than spend 6 months in jail. We want to keep you out of the criminal justice system." As the war on drugs finances prosecutors' offices, prisons, and probation departments, it demands major divestment from schools, recreation centers, housing programs, food security initiatives, medical facilities, and other entities that support public health. Incarceration, arrests, and drug prohibition are bad for health, driving HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, hepatitis C epidemics across the world, said Professor Michael Kazetch-Keen of the Global Drug Commission on Drug Policy last month. Indeed, HIV and hepatitis C rates are staggering in Louisiana, with Baton Rouge and New Orleans being the first and fourth in the U.S. for cities of highest HIV infection rates. Louisiana fails to provide basic HIV services to thousands of inmates in parish jails, endangering the health of individuals and the communities to which they return, Human Rights Watch said in a report released this March. And from a report released in 2013 by the same called In Harm's Way, no city, state, or federal funds are spent on syringe access in Louisiana. The local pharmacists routinely deny purchase of syringes, despite it being totally legal for any adult to buy them. And the one above board syringe access program in the state is open just 2 hours per week. The Louisiana legislative session of 2014 featured this huge step backward. Senator Dan Clater, Democrat, Baton Rouge, and Representative Joe Lopinto, Republican of Metairie, sponsored competing bills that would take a punitive approach to Louisiana's heroin problem. The final version reflected a compromise between the bill's sponsors that includes a bump in the maximum penalty from 50 to a virtual life sentence of 99 years and an increase in the mandatory minimum sentence from 5 to 10 years. Sadly, this bill reversed a decade of work by Representative Pat Smith, a Democrat from Baton Rouge, to reform drug sentencing.
When you get arrested and booked into jail, you face a choice even before you go to trial. Here's how it plays out if you're one of the 20,000 people booked into jail in New Orleans each year. If you can pay your bail, you go free. But if you can't, you or your family pay 10% of that bail amount, called a premium, to a bail bondsman to go free. You also have to pay additional fees to the court, the prosecutor, the public defender, and the sheriff, totaling 3% of that bail amount. And these are all non-refundable, even if you make every court appearance or you're never even prosecuted or convicted. If you are convicted, you have to pay additional fees on top of your sentence. But what if you don't have the money to pay these fines and fees? If you fall behind on payments and end up missing court, you can wind up back in jail. While in jail, you certainly lose your freedom, but you may also lose your job, your home, and your ability to support your family. Not to mention losing your ability to pay the fines and fees that got you into jail in the first place. Keep in mind that most people in this situation are poor and black, and it's not just the people in jail who pay this price. Their families and communities help cover the cost. The fines and fees that help fund the local justice system move money from poor communities, the places that need it most, to government institutions and private industry. In this kind of system, everyone pays. There has to be a better way.
In this July's publication from the Vera Institute, Racial Disparity in Marijuana Policing in New Orleans, the authors report racial disparity remains stubbornly high in the city's responses to marijuana possession offenses. 85% of those arrested for marijuana-related offenses are black, even though black people make up roughly 60% of the population. The disparity is even greater among those arrested for felony marijuana possession. 94% of arrestees are black. Fortunately, the New Orleans City Council passed an ordinance earlier this year allowing police to charge a municipal misdemeanor for what is a felony marijuana possession under state law, enabling them to issue a summons and lowering penalties dramatically. But the city continues to deploy resources toward policing marijuana possession, resources that deliver low or possibly negative public safety returns and create some harm, while the New Orleans Police Department struggles to respond quickly to matters of community safety. And the city is investing those resources in a way that adversely and disproportionately impacts black residents. To read the full report, it's called Racial Disparity in Marijuana Policing in New Orleans.
Minds like all the rest. picture, man. Oxycontin, Xanax bars, Percocets and Lorotap. Values, morphine patches, ecstasy, and it's all up a grab. What you want, what you need, hit me up, I got you, man. What you want, what you need, hit me up, I got you, man.
Scarecrow, scarecrow, what's that? You're popping a powerful pill they call Oxycontin. But it's so tiny, yeah, it got you dragging. Haven't you heard? Big things come in small packages.
What you want, what you need, hit me up, I got you, man. What you want, what you need, hit me up, I got you, man.
According to U.S. Attorney Kenneth Polite's office, a Metairie doctor who allegedly both sold oxycodone and threatened to kill law enforcement agents was arrested Friday, July 22nd. Peter Celesi, a special agent with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, said Dr. Shannon Christopher Caesar gave their confidential source prescriptions for controlled substances in order for Caesar and another co-conspirator to make a profit. Caesar allegedly has sex with the unidentified patient in exchange for drugs that the patient would later sell repeatedly. In a released statement, Polite said, rather than doing no harm as a physician, Shannon Caesar illegally dispensed oxycodone into a community struggling with an epidemic of opioid addiction. In 2011, the DEA began investigating illegal street sales of oxycodone in the Bogalusa area. Agents found an unregistered cash-only clinic, which moved locations several times over the course of the investigation. Two staff members who gave signed prescriptions for oxycodone, even when physicians were not present, pleaded guilty August 3rd to charges related to illegal distribution of oxycodone. Three Louisiana men are among the record 214 federal inmates for whom the U.S. President Barack Obama commuted sentences this month. All three received sentences of 20 years prison time for drug law violations. The new sentencing rules that went into effect in 2014 lower the sentencing guideline on quantities for a range of drugs. 30% of those now eligible for shorter sentences were jailed on methamphetamine offenses, 27.8% for cocaine, 19% for crack, 12% for marijuana, and 8% for heroin. 3/4 of those eligible for early release are Black or Hispanic, and nearly 40% have no prior felony record, the lowest category of criminal background. The White House said the large number of commutations underscores the need for broader criminal justice reform, which has some bipartisan support, but has stalled in Congress.
Roll another.
And that's it for your drug policy update. Music credits are Drunk Punk Baby by Ouch My Face, Peruvian Cocaine by Immortal Technique featuring Diabolic Tone Deaf Poison, To All the Homies Who Are Lost by Chelsea Rainwater featuring Thistle, Oxycontin by Lil White featuring Lord Infamous and Crunchy Black, Because I Got High by Afro Man. Special thanks to NOLA.com reporters Greg LaRose, Jed Lipinski, Kim Chatlin, Andy Grimm, Wilborn P. Nobles III, Michelle Hunter. Advocate reporters Famin Roberts, Jim Mooshchi, and John Zimmerman. Matt Sledge, Joe Giant Jr., also KPEL reporter Brandon Cuomo, Tom Chuang from WWL, The Dead Pelican, Chatty Rogers, and The Houston Chronicle, The Town Talk, and WGNO.
I'm taking it next semester, and I know why, man, yeah, because I got high, because I got high, because I got high.
Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. Ooh, I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. I wasn't gonna run from the cops, but I was high.
I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop, but I was high. Now I'm a paraplegic and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La 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 da da. I was gonna make love to you, but then I got high.
Help me sing. I'm serious.
I was gonna eat your too, but then I got high. Now I'm and I know why.
entire life because I got high. I lost my kids and wife because I got high.
Say what?
Now I'm sleeping on the sidewalk and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La 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 da da da. I'ma stop singing this song because I'm high.
President,
I'm singing this whole thing wrong because I'm high.
Bring it back.
And if I don't sell one copy, I don't know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I'm high.
Are you really high though, man?